Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. In 2011, when the Brooklyn dance band LCD Sound System hung up its collective hat, none of us thought that frontman James Murphy would be quiet for long. And in the years since, he's been busy with all kinds of stuff, producing for other bands, running his record label, of course, DFA, creating custom sound systems, and now his latest musical venture is taking him to Broadway, where he's composed music for a new revival of Harold Pinter's Betrayal, starring Daniel Craig and Rachel Weisz. The play opens for previews on October 1st. James Murphy joins us here in the Soundcheck studio. Good to see you again, James.
Good to see you again as well.
So you are full of surprises. I know you've done some film music, but writing for Broadway.
I like to say I'm writing music for Broadway, which is slightly misleading, because I'm not writing music for a musical, which would be very funny if I was writing music for Broadway and people were going to sing some weird songs. Which someone actually asked me about recently at doing a public interview, you know, people Q&A thing. Someone's like, I want to write a musical around your music. And I was like, I don't want you to do that. I don't think that's any, but nobody needs that.
So Betrayal.
Yes.
So you're not writing for a musical. This is a drama.
This is a drama.
It's kind of three-way love triangle thing. So what role does your music have? What were you asked to do?
Well, the music is not to be a soundtrack in the classic sense, which I think would be really weird. It's supposed to be like just music for transitions, like, you know, just setting, like going between scenes and between moments, not to ever be under a bed underneath action or dialogue. So it's just like part of the transition from scene to scene, from time to time.
So is it acoustic music? Is it your, I mean, I...
It's like composed piano and mostly, yeah, piano and cello.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you compose at the piano?
I do.
And is it all notated and stuff?
It is not. Because the way that I can write, I can read music the way that someone after three classes of English as a second language can speak English. You know, it's really laborious. So what I do is I play things. And I write pieces of music, like two-handed pieces of music, and then I actually hold my video camera and video my left hand, and then I video my right hand, and then I put it down and I record the piece as video. And that way, when I'm sitting there talking to the cellist, is Jeremy Turner. So we'll sit together and we'll break it into, okay, this will be the cello part, this will be the thing, and then we'll reverse it. Okay, the cello will do the dominant reverses, and I'll do the motifs, and we just kind of play together in a room, which is really nice. So we've done work together before. So.
Right. So it's not like, you know, people shouldn't go to this revival of Betrayal by Harold Pinter and expect a little dance party to break out between acts.
No, this is the funny thing for me. It's like, because I make music for myself, when I get to make music for a film like Greenberg, or if I get to make music to accompany a play, like I have a job, and it's really clear to me, and I really enjoy that job, which is, what does this person want to have happen for their piece of work? And similarly, the job that I would hope somebody would do for me for a record cover of mine, that I'm going to put myself into it as much as I can, but it's not for me.
Right.
I'm not making music for me. I'm like, Mike Nichols is he's a incredibly knowledgeable classical music and opera person.
Mm-hmm. He's the director
of
Betrayal.
Yeah, he's the director. So I get inspired to make music that fits what his palette is and like what he wants.
As you did with Noah Baumbach's film, Greenberg.
Yeah.
This is music from James Murphy that was done for this film that starred Ben Stiller and Greta Gerwig.
Thank you.
just a little bit from the soundtrack to the film Greenberg, 2010 film by Noah Baumbach, that sported music from my guest James Murphy, both songs and instrumental pieces.
Yep.
According to the needs of the film.
Yes, I fielded a lot of questions after that. Like, are you just going to make acoustic music? Because it's a lot of like acoustic guitar and stuff, like really far outside my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I worked in an Italian restaurant. I made pasta.
And so for Betrayal, the play by Harold Pinter that Mike Nichols is directing on Broadway, again, it's what needed for the transitions in that play.
Yeah.
And what is needed is not something, you know, with four on the floor or
not
electronics.
So it would be very weird.
It would be, yeah. So it's piano and cello.
Yeah, and I'm basically having to play essentially like classical piano.
And it'll be on tape during the performances.
Yes, because I can't... be there.
That's a bridge too far for
that's
you.
The level of terror, like screwing up somebody else's project is my ultimate nightmare.
Now, so how does this work? I mean, it's your music, but, you know, we have a piano here in the studio, but you cannot just walk over there and start playing the Betrayal music.
I would feel, until it's done, and until, I mean, it's like this is somebody else's reveal. This is somebody else's project. I would feel a little bit like I'm breaching a trust. It's now internal only.
Right.
And then it will be played for people as part of the play.
The play is Betrayal, written by Harold Pinter and directed by Mike Nichols, and starring Daniel Craig and Rachel Weisz and Rafe Spall with music by my guest James Murphy of DFA Records and formerly of LCD Sound System. And, you know, people have this idea of the artist as being someone who is responsible only to his or her muse. You're talking about an artist who works collaboratively with and for other people and other projects. And, you know, that's a form of art as well.
It is, but it's a very different one. I'm a horrible collaborator, typically. Like, and I've had to accept that about myself. Like, I am not good at it.
Now, did you tell Arcade Fire that when they came calling and said, will you produce our record?
No, because I came to make their record, which is like, that's my job in the same way that it's my job to do the play. Like, I came to try to get them what they wanted, what they were hoping for, not to try and impose my criteria on them.
Mm-hmm.
When I make music as myself, I am very inflexible. And I had to stop being in bands because of that. You know.
So working for someone else, is that kind of liberating?
Incredibly liberating. It depends on who they are, what they want, what their vision is. Like, I do not want to like be at a round table where everybody chimes in and I get emails from different people that are in conflict with the, you know, the main person's vision. I can serve one person really well and I really enjoy it. Because it just takes my... It's like, you know, I'm not the chef anymore. I don't design the... I just have to kill this... You know, this chicken station.
Right. So how was it working with Arcade Fire where, you know, I mean, Wynn Butler is pretty much, you know, seen as the front man, but there are a number of really talented songwriters in that band.
Every member of that band could very easily be the primary creative force of a band. And they do kind of find a way to work together that's I find very admirable, and I'm a little bit jealous of it. they work it out. It's kind of incredible.
Their next album is called Reflector. It's out on October 29th, but the single, the title track, is out already, and we can hear some of the early fruits of James Murphy's labors producing this new song from Arcade Fire. We'll be right back. little bit from Arcade Fire's Reflector, the single from the forthcoming album out on October 29th, produced by my guest James Murphy. There's about 15 seconds of this song that has David Bowie doing vocals. How did that happen?
Well, they know him.
But that was probably a file that he sent from his studio.
Not at all.
He showed up and did that?
Yeah, I recorded him. So I met David Bowie.
Wow. And you said...
It's the first time I met David Bowie.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And basically you said to him, I just need you to sing these two lines.
Well, no. I mean, luckily the band was also there and they were, you know, communicating with him. But, I got to record David Bowie, which was an obvious, incredibly large highlight for me.
Mm-hmm. James Murphy with us on Soundcheck. He's written music for Betrayal, which previews on October 1st on Broadway, the Harold Pinter play. Opens on October 27th at the Barrymore Theater on West 47th Street. And since closing up shop with LCD Sound System, you have been doing all of these different things. The last time we spoke, you had some crazy idea about turning the subway turnstiles into a grand musical instrument. You actually have built this sound system.
Yeah.
Is it Despacio?
Despacio.
Despacio. Yeah. Tell us what that is and what the idea behind it was.
Well, Despacio is a project of mine with Dave and Steph Diwali, the Soul Wax stroke Too Many DJs fellas stroke radio Soul Wax guys.
So these are like producers over in the
producers
UK.
And DJs, like really good friends of mine, musicians, really good friends of mine that we used to travel together a lot back in the day. And we DJ a lot and we complain a lot. It's kind of what we we do. And we, be like, oh, it's a sound system in this club, blah, 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 blah. And everybody's staring at DJs now and it's boring. And, we just want people to dance and have fun. And you can't play an AC/DC record in a club because it sounds bad. And so we got, complaining. And I always have a project that I want to do. I get really upset about stuff that's not right. Most of my creative drive is like being angry at something and wanting to fix it. But anyway, there was a sound system that I felt was missing. Something that's very natural, the way that like an old Klipshorn would be, or the way an old disco system would be, but has the weight and heaviness and power of a modern system, but not as aggressive, more even frequency. Like I wanted something that – I wanted a dance club that an opera buff could bring their perfect pressings in, sit in the middle of and listen to their operas and be really happy. And I didn't feel like that existed. So we set about designing quite simply without like rocket sciences and computers, just like literally designing boxes and speakers. And we contacted Macintosh because I own like
that's
old
MC.
MC, yeah. Like not
the, MAC.
Not the jackets.
Right.
Or the apples.
Or the apples.
But we contacted them and they loaned us amps, which it's like 50,000 watts of max. So
wow.
It's pretty, but we just wanted to send it and we did it. We put on records. I put on like Alice Coltrane with Pharoah Sanders and we put on Philip Glass and we played the Can. Like we played these things that like don't hold up in modern dance clubs because they're designed around this kind of like hyper compressed sample based music. And because the dynamics range is so much wider because it's not trying to be limited at the peak painful volume. Instead, it's hovering underneath that volume, and when something happens quite loud, it's got the room to do 140 dB spike that that shocks you and makes your hair stand up. It was really beautiful, and it's something I'm more proud of this than I should be. I'm really excited about it.
This is an exciting thing, because...
But it's total Ludditism, I mean, in a certain degree. The world is internet is downloading tiny versions of songs designed to be downloaded in tiny versions. And we're, we played, I think Steve Miller, Fly Like an Eagle was one of the hits. Like people, because it sounded massive.
Slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. I wanna fly like an eagle to the sea.
Now, Steve Miller's Fly Like an Eagle played on your Despacio sound system.
Yes.
Is that a different song? Is that a different experience?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It took people a while to stop asking us, what version is this? And we're like, this is the LP. Like, it's not even a 12-inch cut. It's the LP. And, you know.
So now, how did you produce the Arcade Fire? What is that produced for? Is it to be a great record or to sound good?
It's me in waging a war with the world, trying. I mean, it's not entirely up to me. Everybody has their goals. And I also realize that sometimes I'm not the best producer because sometimes I'm like, don't add that part because it's clouding this sonic scape that I've created. And then they'll add the part and then everyone will be like, I love that part. And then that's why the song's a hit. Like, so like I've learned that this type of evangelism has to have its limits, and I have to have a governmental check and balance against myself.
Well, I can't wait to hear what the rest of that record sounds like. And James Murphy's music for Betrayal, the Harold Pinter play in a new production directed by Mike Nichols, opens in previews on October 1st at the Barrymore Theater on West 47th Street. The official opening is October 27th. So, James, a busy month for you coming up. Thanks for taking some time and joining us today.
Good to see you. My pleasure. Good to see you again.